Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 15. Yatra chadyak pumanasti. Bhagavān-śabda-gocharaḥ sattvaṁ-viṣṭabhya-vidajaṁ svānāṁ-no-viddayaṁ-viṣaḥ yatvā in the Vaikuntha planets cha and Adya, original. Puman, person. Asti, is there. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shabdagocharaha, understood through the Vedic literature. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Vishtabhya, accepting. Virajam, uncontaminated. Swanam, of his own associates. Naha, our, rather us. Mridayan, increasing happiness. Vishaha, the personification of religious principles. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Purport. The kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the descriptions of the Vedas. No one can go see it. In the material world, also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveyances can only understand about that place from authentic books. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. The modern scientists who are trying to travel in space are having difficulty going even to the nearest planet, the moon, to say nothing of the highest planets within the universe. There is no possibility that they can go beyond the material sky, enter the spiritual sky, and see for themselves the spiritual planets, Vaikuntha. Therefore, the kingdom of God in the spiritual sky can be understood only through the authentic descriptions in the Vedas and the Puranas. In the material world, there are three modes of material qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But in the spiritual world, there is no trace of the modes of passion and ignorance. There is only the mode of goodness, which is uncontaminated by any tinge of ignorance or passion. In the material world, even if a person is completely in goodness, he is sometimes subject to be polluted by tinges of the mode of ignorance. And passion. But in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual sky, only the mode of goodness in the pure form exists. The Lord and his devotees reside in the Vaikuntha planets, and they are of the same transcendental quality, namely Shuddha Sattva, the mode of pure goodness. The Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas toward the kingdom of God, the Lord himself helps his devotees. Naham prakashak sarvasya. I'm not manifest to everybody. That means I'm unmanifest to almost everybody. Few people can see him in this world. Yoga Maya Samavritaha. There's a power that covers me called Yoga Maya. This acts not on me. It doesn't do anything to me. This Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya does not affect Krishna. Normally, although in his pastimes another thing goes on. But as far as relation to the material world, as far as the material, Yoga Maya here, in the context of that Gita verse, does not mean the spiritually, the Leela Shakti of the Lord. It means the material, illusory energy. That does not ever affect Krishna in any situation. If Krishna gets affected by his Maya, it's by his choice, and it's in his pastimes. It's not a material condition. Everyone else, except for the personality of Godhead, can be influenced by the illusory potency, but the Lord himself cannot. He's always the predominator of his Maya. That Yoga Maya, meaning the Mahamaya, the material energy, covers the consciousness of the living entities. It doesn't do anything to change the Lord or his qualities or condition. It simply changes the understanding, the perception of the living entities. It just covers their eyes. It's a much more economical thing. You don't want someone to see the sun. Put something over his eyes. It's much easier than putting something over the sun. So Maya does that. And therefore, in the material condition, we don't see the Lord. Why? Why does it have to be like that? Because that's what we asked for. We wanted a world where the Lord was not present. It's the condition that we created. That was our request. Let me go away from you and be and have my own world to enjoy and control. Okay, I'll cover your eyes. And you can pretend that there's such a world, even though there cannot be such a world. We'll cover your eyes with Yoga Maya, and you can pretend you're in a world where I'm not there. We don't want to see the Lord. That's our foolish, unfortunate condition. But it's not natural and it's not original. Our original natural situation is to be where we always see the Lord. Vaikuntha is such a place where, as confirmed here, the Lord is present. Of course, he's present everywhere. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat. Avyaktamurtina. I pervade the entire material creation. That means he is present everywhere. He can't pervade something without being present. It's synonymous. That means he's present in all parts. That's what pervade means. I mean, you can't twist the words until they don't mean what they're supposed to mean. The word simply means to be present throughout something. That's to pervade it. So if the Lord pervades the whole creation, that means in some form, or through some extension at least, he's actually present. And he does say it's in a certain form or through a certain extension. Avyaktamurtina. Invisibly. Not in the normal fashion. It's me, but I'm disguised. I'm invisible. And in that invisible form, avyaktamurti, I pervade the material creation also, as well as the spiritual creation. But it's invisible. The living entities are able to continue their delusion to think he's not there because he remains invisible. Impersonal form. Avyakta can also be understood meaning impersonal. Impersonal just means invisible. The Lord is always a person. You can say that your hair and your fingernails are dead matter, but they're still parts of you. The impersonal feature is part of the person. It's not separate. The hair and the nails, if I cut them off, they're just, ammonia and other poisonous substances, of no purpose. The hair serves some purpose on the top of my head. The nails, they serve some protective function. But when cut off, they're just garbage. Nobody normally, unless you're saving the relic of some saint, you don't keep fingernails and hair in a jar. Only when you're so fanatic that you're worshiping someone, even his fingernails and his hair. But normally we just throw it away. It's garbage of no purpose. Like that, the Lord's impersonal feature is not separate from him. If you try to separate it, it has no meaning. The impersonal feature without the person is nothing. It becomes zero. No qualities. So what is it? It's nothing. You can't do anything with it. Can't relate to it. Can't have a rasa, a relationship. Can't serve it. Can't worship it. Can't worship is something that can't meditate on something that has nothing to focus on. So the impersonal feature separated from the person is useless or is as good as nothing. That's what tucha means. The word tucha means it may exist, but it's so useless that it might as well not exist. You know, like nowadays a 10 pice coin. You know, it may be theoretically money, but people just, if you see it on the street, you don't pick it up. It used to be different. You could buy something for 10 paisa 20 years ago, but nowadays, forget it. It's only good for throwing at the deity. Even beggars will not touch it. But, you know, Krishna has to accept. People sell stacks of 10 rupee, 25, 20 rupee coins to dump at the feet of Krishna. Tucha, useless. It might as well not exist.
And then they steal the money back and then sell it again.
Yeah. And they won't accept. You want to buy 20 rupee coins, they won't accept 20 rupee coin for you to purchase it.
Paisa.
You got to pay in real money.
Yeah, paisa.
Paisa.
Mm-hmm.
20 paisa coin, I'm saying.
And then they'll again steal the same money you showered at the DTs and sell them again.
Yeah, at least the Pujaris will cash them in for real money. So the impersonal feature is only really exists in connection with the personal feature. Our original natural condition is to be where the personal feature, where the Lord is visible, is present in person. He's present anyway, invisibly, even in the material existence. But the natural condition is that you can see him. To be invisible for a murta, form, for a thing that has form, to disguise that form is abnormal. You gotta, to be invisible, you gotta go through some contortions. You gotta try hard to be invisible. Because I've got a body, it's got color, it weighs 100 kilos. You know, how am I gonna hide it? 95, 85, I don't know. How am I gonna hide it? You know, can I buy a bottle of invisible paint? You only see that in cartoons. You know, I have to hide behind a curtain or do some trick. You know, put mirrors in front of me. It's, the magicians do these things. But normally, it's abnormal to hide something that has a form that has color, that takes up space and weighs something. The Lord is a person. He has a real form. So for him to hide himself is the abnormal situation. For him to be visible is normal. And that's the condition of Vaikuntha, as described in this verse. The Lord is visibly present instead of invisibly present. And in that, when the living entity is in such an environment, he can be happy. His life can be normal. If we're not in that condition, if we're living in an environment where we don't see the Lord at all, then our life is abnormal and miserable and confused. That's basically the dilemma of the living entity. He thinks, I need money, I need, a spouse, I need my reputation, I need my kingdom. We think these are the things we need. What we actually need is connection with the personality of Godhead in his personal visible form. We need to see Krishna. That's our problem. So the devotees, even living in the material world, they're allowed to see Krishna. They can come and see the deity. And because they've been endowed, blessed with faith, they can see Krishna in the deity. They can see Krishna in his prasadam. They can see Krishna, if they're a little advanced, they can see Krishna in the heart of every living entity. So the devotees are fortunate. Even in the material world, they can see Krishna. We can see Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam if we have a taste and some conviction about it. We can see Krishna even in the Shastra. So the Shastra has that value. It's just like the deity. It's a special deity form of the Lord. He manifests in the book. At least in the Bhagavatam. Krishna manifests in full as his complete personal feature. But Prabhupada points out another more basic purpose of the Shastra for people in the material world. You cannot know what to do, how to even begin finding the Supreme, unless you take guidance and instruction from the revealed scripture, the Vedic Shastras. Not just any book. It has to be a book written by people who have actually seen the absolute truth and know how to communicate to us the process of also doing the same. That's the Vedic Rishis. Not some drug-crazed witch doctor, aborigine in the rainforest, but sober sages who know, who can speak clearly, who aren't intoxicated, and can convey what they've experienced coherently, and can map out a plan for others to see the same absolute truth. That's the kind of guidance we need, and that's what's available in the Vedic literature. Great rishis like Vyas and others that are much older than him have compiled this literature, or at least they've conveyed it through their meditation. And then we have access to the absolute truth because of that. The spiritual realm is our natural realm, but we're living in the world covered over by Yogamaya, where we don't even have a glimpse of Vaikuntha, and therefore we generally don't believe it exists. The avaranatmaka shakti of that same Maya makes us think that what we're living in is the reality, and that the real natural world doesn't even exist. It's just mythology. So that makes it very difficult to see. We don't believe it. Even if we were given an instrument by which we could see, we don't want to even try it. Just like the scientist Galileo. He didn't invent the telescope. It was invented by some Dutch man. What was his name? Leeuwenhoek or somebody who invented the telescope. You know, they used it as a toy originally. You know, sitting in one of the ports in the Netherlands, they were looking at the boats, you know, through their spy glasses. Just for play. Yeah, it was a toy. Yeah, I just put some lenses. Yeah, a man was making spectacles. He put two lenses like that. Whoa, look, I can see like that, you know, from a distance. So he made a telescope. It was used as a toy. But the Galileo, an Italian, down south in Italy, Galileo got a hold of one of those imports from Amsterdam or wherever. And because he was an astronomer, he said, hey, I can use this to look at the stars and the planets. So he looked, and he discovered that Jupiter had, you know, six or whatever moons. Wow, the Earth is not the only planet with a moon. And Jupiter's got six of them. So he wrote it down in a scientific journal and was pulled in front of the Inquisition for that. Yeah, what do you mean? The moon is the only moon in the world, in the universe. There's no other moons. It's against the Bible. So they were threatening to torture him and have him processed by the Inquisition. So he had to defend himself in court, in the Inquisitional court. He asked the cardinals who came to interrogate him in his cell, why don't you just have a look? I'll show you. Moons around Jupiter. Just look in this little telescope. And they said, no, that's the tool of the devil. We won't look in it. And they refused to look. So this is the problem. Even if the instrument is available, we don't believe in it. Bhavatam is here. Spy through the glass of the Bhavatam.
Did
you
get
to him? Nah, he got out. He already did? I'll tell you in a minute. I'll tell you in a minute how he got saved. But anyway, we could look through the eyeglass, the spyglass of the Bhavatam and see Krishna, but we don't want to do it. You know, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. You know, I have to go to work. I can't come to Bhavatam class. Yeah, I got to do this. I got to do that. And anyway, I don't believe it really. Therefore, I've got the Bhavatam on my shelf, but I never open it. If I believed in it, I'd open up the book. But I don't believe in it. That's our unfortunate condition. Not only are we covered by Maya, but we don't want to get out of it. We don't believe, we're not convinced there's another world. Otherwise, the instruments are available to see, but we don't want to use them. Galileo was threatened with being burned at the stake. So he got himself out by saying that, I'm sorry, it was all a mistake. I'll burn all my books, and I don't believe it. I was wrong. So he backed down. They said, no, there are no other moons, only one moon. I must have stuck my finger in my eye when I looked through the telescope.
And then what happened?
They let him go. He lied. He lied and they let him go.
Did he burn?
No, they he wasn't found guilty because he said, I'm sorry, all the books I wrote were wrong, and I'll write other books saying that they were wrong.
But did he ever write?
I think once they let him go, then he said, actually, I wasn't lying. Once he got away.
He actually didn't do it, right?
Didn't do what?
He didn't write
it. No, he kept on saying that, you know, but first of all, he got himself away from that court. And I think he left Italy and went somewhere else. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
So how do we explain that if hair and nails that dead matter, why do they expand and grow? What is there some
it's just the underlying, the hair follicles, the tissue underneath is pushing them out, that's all. They don't grow. There's no living cells in hair and fingernails. There are cells below them that push them. They have no mobility because they don't have any cell structure.
Where do they come from?
They come from the metabolism. Food is digested. The part of the food that's useful is made into energy. Broken down into sugars and amino acids and simple fats and sent off to the body. And the rest of the part that couldn't be used becomes the waste products, including ammonia. Because when you take a protein, you break it down to peptides, and then there's ammonia. There's nitrogen element of every amino acid. So in order to store the amino acids, the nitrogen part, in order actually to send it out of the lower the small intestines into the bloodstream, the nitrogen part has to be broken off, and then it's transported through the membranes of the lower intestines to outside the lower intestines. Well, it's an ammonia. It's an ammonia molecule that's broken off of the protein in order to transport the protein and send it in the bloodstream. And the proteins lose their ammonia and then the little amino acids go traveling in the blood, usually not the whole proteins. So there's a lot of loose ammonia accumulated. And other poisonous substances. They're normally ammonia is further processed to make urea, and sent to the kidneys to be passed out as urine. But some of it is used to make ammonia, and a few other poisons are used for practical purposes to make hair and fingernails. It's from the poisons that are byproducts of digestion that the hair and the nails and a few other things in the body are produced.
One esoteric question.
Yeah.
Then, how is it that mystic power of yogis are kept in such an unclean place like here or something?
That's tantra, where they go out of their way to consort with the mode of ignorance in order to get something done. Yeah, the ghosts and spirits are actually doing that. It's not that the fingernail has no power, but there's ghosts who inhabit such contaminated things. You know, so if you throw your fingernails, and if you leave your fingernails or hair inside your property, then ghosts can come and haunt you. Yeah, therefore you have to always throw them outside the property.
Neighbor's foot.
Yeah, out in the street or the neighbor's plot. Let the neighbors get the ghosts. But especially your parts of your body, the fingernails and the hair, can be used by tantrics and by spirits to attack you. It's like they take over like a voodoo effigy. They can take over the fingernails there. But it's not, it's a spirit, in, you know, entering the fingernails. Not the fingernail itself has no living potency. But it's a dirty thing, and it's nice and thomasic for ghosts to enter. Okay? Fingernails must be discarded outside.
What if you keep them on?
That's okay. But when you cut them off, then someone can take advantage of them. If you grow them too long, then they can also be haunted. I don't know. Okay. Thank you, all glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.